hurts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
So where will the wind blow us today? Well, Gordon Goldsboro knows. He's with the Manitoba Historical Society. He's back for a new episode of Abandoned Manitoba. Hi, Gordon. Welcome back.
Good morning, Terry.
So last week you gave a hint about the someplace northeast of Brandon to do with the grain industry before grain elevators.
That's right. Well, people sometimes think that grain elevators have always been with us, and they have for a long time, but in fact, there was technology before them. Let's just review. So today, when you're moving grain to market, if you're a farmer, you often have these very large trucks and semi-trailers, and you haul your grain to one of these massive sort of inland terminals. Before that, you may have had a much smaller truck, maybe a 3-ton, and you'd haul it to the nearest grain elevator, and pretty much every town had one of those. Before that, if you were a farmer, you had probably a horse-drawn wagon, fairly small affair, and you would take your grain to what was called a flat warehouse.
And a flat warehouse, what's that?
Well, the flat part, I think, comes from the fact that it was a horizontal building, usually one story. In other words, the grain elevators, of course, went up. They were vertical, whereas the flat warehouses kind of went horizontally. And so I suspect that's why they were called that. They are the technology that preceded grain elevators. And I think they were replaced fairly quickly because, well, they frankly weren't very efficient compared to grain elevators.
And where was this flat warehouse?
Okay, well, you remember a few weeks back I teased you that I couldn't tell you where I was going. It was a place northeast of Brandon. In fact, I was going to the village of Brookdale, Manitoba, where they have the sole surviving example of a flat warehouse.
How big is this thing?
Oh, let's see. It's a one-story affair, probably about 50 feet by maybe 30 feet. Not a very big building at all by comparison to the big elevators today. It's covered in metal cladding. It's kind of, well, it's very attractive. It's actually painted bright red, and it was designed for hauling grain.
And what's it used for now?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It is abandoned, but it was used initially, as far as we can tell, as a grain warehouse. So the idea was, if you think about what it looked like, it was a rectangular building. On one side was a ramp that led up to a door. It was a fairly large door on the south side of it. The ramp would go up to the door and then go down again. On the opposite side of the warehouse was a rail. And that was where the boxcars would come to be loaded. So if you're a farmer, you've got your wagon, you've got it loaded with sacks. Now, this is where it's, I think, the key difference from what we do today. Farmers would not bring loose grain to market. They would bring it in cloth bags. The idea being is that they would load these bags on their farm, full of these, you know, bags of grain. They would bring these in the wagon to the flat warehouse, roll them up the ramp. Somebody would come out with a trolley, load the sacks. Of course, it's all manual. Pick up these big hefty sacks onto the trolley, wheel them into the warehouse. There they'd weigh them. Of course, they had to be able to pay the farmer for how much grain he had brought to market. And then from there, they'd either just take the sack of grain and set it down, or that sometimes they would pour it into a big open bin and mix it all together, and then they could take out quantities of whatever they needed it for. But usually what would happen is the bags of grain would be stored inside the warehouse, and then later they would load a boxcar. So the boxcar would pull up on the opposite side of the warehouse, they'd open the doors, load the sacks back up in the trolley, wheel them into the boxcar, and start stacking these sacks of grain. Extremely labor-intensive. I mean, really labor-intensive. And in fact, I read that it would take as much as an entire day to load one boxcar with grain. And these weren't even the big boxcars we have today, the big hopper cars, you know, where they can fill one of those in like 20 minutes to 30 minutes. I mean, those things are fast. And that's, of course, the major efficiency that you get with a grain elevator. But back in the flat warehouse days, everything was manual, and I think that's why they were replaced so quickly. So the heyday of these flat warehouses was in the 1880s and the 1890s, and by the 1890s, they had already begun to realize the limitations of the flat warehouse. So that's when you start seeing the grain elevators really start to appear in abundance. So the oldest elevators, at least the oldest ones we have surviving, are from the 1890s. And that's when you start seeing these upright structures all over the prairies. And so by the 1900s, No more flat warehouses. In fact, this one, it's kind of surprising in a way. It was built in 1902, which is very late. I'm not quite sure why they would have built a flat warehouse that late. But it was, I'm told by people who know, that it was built as a grain warehouse. But very quickly, it turned to other purposes. So it was bought by a fellow named John Laurie. And although I think he originally intended it maybe to use it as a grain warehouse, he also had a hardware business in Brookdale. And so I'm told that he used this building not as a grain warehouse, but rather for storing farm chemicals and fertilizer and all kinds of other things. So for the last, century or so, it really hasn't been a grain warehouse. It was actually more sort of a hardware facility. So when Laurie passed away, his son took it over. It was then sold to another fellow. The person who owns it now, I don't think appears to use it at all, because if you go in there, it is literally covered in pigeon poop as far as the eye can see.
What do you know about how widespread these flat warehouses were during their heyday?
Oh, very, very common. I've seen pictures, for example, of Verdun, where there's a series of these flat warehouses in a row, one in Gretna, Niverville. They were basically, that was the way that grain was shipped in those days, before they started deciding that, you know, this is just way too labor intensive, and then they went to the grain elevator instead.
Huh. What are you thinking about for next week?
Well, next week we're going to consider a pair of temporary buildings near Riding Mountain National Park that have the distinction of being built by the strongest man in the world.
Oh, really?
Well, allegedly, anyway.
Okay, look forward to that. Gordon, thank you.
You're welcome, Terry.
See you next week.
Yeah, bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons ago.